Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So I think my favorite moment from the big trade signing was still the cheating. You know, I don't know what Trump was doing. Was he looking to see if they were signing, if they were signing their own names, if they were, you know, I don't know what that was all about, but it was you could see him as a teenager in class, you know, just going, okay, who am I cheating off of next? What an embarrassment. Just an absolute embarrassment. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world and Washington, D.C. Bob Nay, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what do you think of that? I mean, did you see the image of him? You know, it was just a weird kind of thing. Like, what exactly are you doing?
No, I didn't see that. What was it?
Well, they were signing the U.S.-Mexico trade agreement or, you know, whatever that was.
Right.
And you got him looking to the right and to the left, and it looks like he's cheating off each of them. Like they're trying to figure out who he's going to cheat off of first.
Well, Trudeau was, but I thought that's because he really didn't want to sign it. Trudeau was, calling Donald and wouldn't hold up the actual document, even though the president of Mexico asked him to. But I took that as Trudeau was angry over, you know, having to do it.
Yeah, this whole thing. It's going to be interesting how this plays out because everything I'm reading is telling me that all of these art of the deal things are way overhyped.
Well, you know, somebody asked me today about the whole G20, and I said, look, it's a win for Donald Trump to have the Chinese blink. That's a win.
Right.
And I think we have to give him that. Now, the question is, what is done with all of this with the Chinese? You know, do they come back and then try to, you know, manipulate this? I don't know. So the initial blink by the Chinese, which it is a deal, and it's in the favor of Trump, but the question is what happens now.
Yeah, but
and
no,
then,
I think this,
once the deals are signed, it takes about a year or two to look back and see statistically what worked.
Right. But here again, haven't we been here before? I mean, the Chinese are going to go, okay, fine, we'll agree to this. They're going to do whatever the hell they want anyway.
Well, they always do that. I think in dealing with Trump, they don't know what to think or expect. And so it catches them off guard a little bit harder to manipulate, in a sense, the current United States than maybe they have in the past.
Yeah, I this is one of those issues I hope he does well on, and I want him to do well on. But I just fear, you know, as most of the other things that we see, he's a great pitch man, makes a great, you know, this is going to be the greatest ever, and then everything seems to just, well, fall really short.
Right. Yeah, only time will tell.
Yeah, some of the things in this, the new NAFTA, which is interesting because he said, you know, this is the biggest trade agreement ever, and it's not. It's historic change. It's not really. I mean, there's some things in there that are good, some things in there that, you know, I would think they probably made even worse, and some things they didn't even address. I mean, you know, patents, yeah, corporations can be thrilled. They're going to have their patents protected. Work environment, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. But like you said, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the next year, and what we look back on. And my problem with that is that, you know, while he's declaring victory over this, and we think, oh, he's done all these great things, through the back door, we're still getting screwed.
Well, yeah, for the 220 race, you know, there are 2 years, and a lot of this is going to be looked at closely because, you know, that's his mainstay with Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, et cetera. The trade agreements and how they, you know, help or hurt workers.
Yeah, well, I mean, the GM thing can't help.
Oh, of course not, no.
And, you know, I got to get your thoughts. I mean, that's your neck of the woods, a little bit north of your neck of the woods. But, yeah, it's going to have a reverberation effect, I think, throughout all of northwestern Ohio. What are your thoughts on closing the Lordstown plant?
Right. I mean, look, Lordstown, the plant had more people in it than it had in the town, and it's a big deal. John Kasich, the governor, said, you know, it was, you know, tragic, et cetera, but he didn't really go after GM, Sherrod Brown, our senator, and Tim Ryan, the congressman from up there, did. And I think that, like anything, if a taxpayer listening to your show has Farmers Home Administration, in order to buy their house, and if something happens, they could have the house foreclosed and taken away by the government. They could lose their assets. In this case, it's different because it's business. They can close. They could go in the stimulus package and borrow money and still close without any penalty, and they can keep what they want. So yeah. It's a biased situation. They can just do as they please. And again, sure, we're in a capitalistic society. We're a democracy. But they took government money, and they took the money and ran.
Yeah, see, I'm starting to push back on that whole capitalistic society thing because we seem to be turning into more of a monopoly where, corporate control, when you're talking about these really big businesses, they've got the ability really to destroy this country if they so choose, just out of the whims of whatever they decide. I mean, we've given them so much power in the hopes that they'll create jobs, and they've shown that they're never going to create enough jobs for everyone to have good livable wages with decent benefits. That we've already shown they won't do that or can't do it, whichever. We've just given them way too much outweighted power over us.
Well, also, you're right, and the fact that they did take government assistance. The other thing about it, too, they did this closure after the midterms. I'm sure they knew before. They were just waiting till the midterms were done.
Sure. No, I mean, look, they got their tax breaks. They didn't want to hurt the Republicans any more than the Republicans have hurt themselves. Because once the Republicans are gone, no more tax cuts, no more giant windfalls, no more welfare.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I hope so, because I don't know if you've been seeing the recent reports that a lot of Republican donors are courting some 90 Democrats that are either no labels or the new blue dogs or, the kind of the conservative centrist Democrats that a bunch of Republican money is trying to get them to organize, to stop any of the bad stuff, ending, the massive student loan debt or, tax breaks for big companies and all that. It's interesting to see where the money's going right now.
Oh, it is. Yes, no doubt about it.
Yeah, scary stuff. Let's move on. Medicare for all. Any chance?
Well, look, there's two phases to this, or two different parts. You have the 50 to 64 part to this, or you just have Medicare for all. And, the headline on this is, basically Speaker Pelosi has a minefield. But I think that minefield is self-created. And the reason I say that, if the Democratic side does not think this thing totally through and they start to splinter internally, then they're going to really not be effective on this issue. They were hit over the head, obviously, on the Health Care Act. And a lot of them got sucked into that, this whole black hole, as I call it politically, that they were defending themselves during the elections. Then they turned around, because they should have just held their ground. And then they turned around and they used it this cycle against the Republicans very effectively. They really did, because the Republicans did nothing, period.
Right.
As they said they would. So now they are sitting here with the possibility of doing, Medicare for all. Now, I do like speaking of Donald Trump, the rebranding of this issue. By calling it Medicare for All, because people identify with Medicare, I do, I'm going to have it next year, then they are making something more appealing. The 50 to 64 range has 77% acceptance by people in the polling, and the other ones rank very high, 56%. So they have an opportunity here. If they fight each other and can't, push this issue, then it's really going to be kind of shame, shame on them. They're going to have some internal problems that Nancy Pelosi is going to have to get through.
Yeah, but if anyone in the house right now can do it, I think she's the one who has the savvy and the purse strings to be able to do that.
Right. You know, she's focused on this issue. It's going to be kind of a number one priority, and it would be great if they could, you know, if they could be cohesive and get it done. It's got a lot of appeal to it. And then the Republicans have to, you know, decide what they want to do with it. Do they want to have the wrath of, you know, seniors particularly on them? Some people, by the way, Rick, have suggested that the Democratic side shouldn't do anything because, and this is such flawed thinking, they shouldn't do anything because if they do, they have given the gift to the Republicans of taking care of health care. Well, here's the problem with that thinking. If the Democratic side, which they're going to take control in January, has 2 years, and they don't pass something, they can't turn around and say, oh, huh, you see, you Republicans, you've never solved it.
Right.
No, they're in control. They need to learn the lesson the Republicans themselves went through. You know, they were in control, and they didn't do anything.
No, you've got to, and I've been saying this for a while, the Democrats have got to figure out how they can go back to the voters and say, look, these are our policies, this is our vision, this is how we're going to make life better. And, you know, the reality is, you know, people my age, your age, you know, we're looking at retirement. You know, I'm you know, 51. I'm looking at retirement going, you know, I'm not going to make it. You know, 67's a long way off, you know, and, you know, healthcare being the number one reason I won't be able to retire early. You know, I would love to go at, you know, at 59 and a half, like my union contract would allow me, or at 62 or whenever. But healthcare is just going to just devastate any of that. And
you're right. I mean, and I can recall when I was looking at, because I have not had, but for 1 year, I haven't had any insurance. And again, I'm not trying to have any sympathy here, and nobody should have it for me, but I didn't have, I've had 1 year of insurance since 2008 to today. And when the American Health Care Act passed, I'm sitting there going, oh, okay. I mean, when it started to go through, I'm like, okay, all right. Then all of a sudden, Joe Lieberman does an amendment, and he removes the 50 to 64 provision. Because why? He comes from an insurance state, right? They didn't want it. And I thought, wow, imagine back then if they'd have passed that provision, just that much of it to take care of people. So they have an opportunity.
No, and you're right. And it was another one of the many reasons I was not a Trader Joe Lieberman fan.
Right.
Just kind of throwing that out there. But it'll be interesting to see what they do, and I'm hoping they don't do nothing. You know, they should be able to get something passed through so that, like you said, they have something to run on in 2020 and to point back at the fact that the Republicans did nothing. I would argue they did stuff. It's just been all bad on the healthcare front. Let's move on. Mueller, evidently the claim is that the report's being written right before our very eyes. Is that true?
Right. Everybody's talking about the report, but if you really watch what's going on, this is not a matter of leaking a bunch of things. It's just you can watch where he's going with this, you know, with Cohen, with you know, Manafort, you know, who they're questioning, which direction they're going. So yes, I think it's kind of just, you know, all out there, and I assume that he's not going to take forever to wrap this up for the next year. People many times, Rick, say, well, hey, Whitewater took, you know, they took 4 or 5 years, but it's a different era, a different time. It's, you know, electronically we're more sophisticated, social media. Things are expected faster.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Well, we live in the McDonald's era. We want everything handed to us out a window in a neat little bag within under 90 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
and not gain any calories from it.
Exactly. but you know, it's that one period, you know, that they're really focusing on between June and July of 16 that I think is going to be Trump's undoing. I mean, that whole call for, and I remember when he said it going, wow, I can't believe that he actually said, hey, Russia, go get those emails. And people didn't really, you know, didn't blow back.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
So there you go. Well, we'll see how this plays out. I'm still waiting for the indictments of Dumb Jr. and Jared, so it'll be fun to see how that plays out. Some dire warnings on climate change.
Right. The United Nations is saying, you know, this is it. This is bad. It's severe, almost completely out of control. And they did this again in January. So, you know, it's just a dire warning that it's a problem. You know, our population growth and everything else under the sun, products, what we produce. So they are sending out that fire alarm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at how bad things have been, and you know, the wildfire, you know, out on the West Coast, and you know, you look at, you know, just some of the drought conditions around the world, and you know, and I keep saying, if you think the caravans that you're seeing now coming from Central America are bad, just wait 10 years. You know, wait if we continue to do nothing.
Sure.
I mean, it's this head in the sand mentality, and I think most people don't even, you know, they think of it as a political fight. And, you know, haven't figured out how it's going to affect each and every one of us at some point down the road.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's scary stuff. And finally, evidently a report out today that that Jamal Khashoggi actually had written some private messages saying that, you know, MBS was going to, you know, suppress not only people like him, but, you know, even followers at some point.
Right. And he called him a beast. And now there is a lawsuit by a man named Abdulaziz, and he's a Saudi, you know, he's a dissident, and he's filed a lawsuit in Israel, and this is on the heels of a lawsuit already filed by many journalists from around the world in Israel, because there is a spyware, Pegasus, and it's licensed and approved by the Israeli government for this company. They've used it in Mexico, no apparent reason to be able to get into the smartphones and things. It's not that people did anything, they're using it to break into things, countries are. And it's aimed at being sold to countries. And they believe that spyware got into his system and then delivered these messages to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
So there's a lawsuit on this, and Israel's under a lot of fire for sanctioning this type of service. And in some of the messages they've got, you know, he calls MBS the beast.
And rightly so. I mean, you know, kind of one of those words from the grave kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Scary times. And look, we're buddies, you know, we're buddies with them.
Right.
Yay. Oh, man. Anyway, Bob, I appreciate the time. Always good
talking
with you.
Thank you, Rick. You too. Take care.
Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. I, at some point, do you not look at this and go, these are the people we associate with? We're gassing kids. We're hooked up with, you know, Mr. Bonesaw there. Scary times. Quick break. Right back.